I hug anybody who wants it. Yeah, I'm kind of a slutty.
You're gonna get sick.
you're gonna get hug BDs.
Hug BDs.
You're gonna get embraceria.
Oh, this is gross. When you're sliding into home and then you hug a guy.
Embraceria. No, can this not be the intro audio?
Oops. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy. Justin just sold you a lie, because I clearly know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Plant, and you can call me the Mish.
What?
The Mish. like the Mish.
My name is Russ Frushtick, and I'm not the Mish, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the Mench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. We don't want people to think that Chris Plant is the commish, just part and parcel because of, I don't know, because he's the smallest. Right. You know? It's because he brought two bad games in a row.
Well, I did not bring a bad game this week.
It's true. His game is not terrible this week.
Is he still going to pitch it?
I think he should still let the people know about the game, even though it's pretty clear that it's not going to win against all the other games.
Okay, well, I don't think the commissioner's game can win. Like, you're getting crazy. No. Hey, everybody, this is the Besties. It's a Game of the Year podcast that lasts all year long. Much like King of the Hill, we compare the newest games of the
year. Hey, man, I'm going to go get propane.
Then pit them.
It's like the TV, like
pit
the TV
them
show,
against
the
each other in Mortal Kombat or Injustice. Gods Among Us.
Hey, Peggy? It's pretty good.
And also, it is a show about King of the Hill impressions.
Damn it, Bobby.
That's, wow. Guys, that's what are you talking about?
That's the neighbor?
That was Bobby.
That's Bobby.
Doing a Jewish comedian.
Okay. Chris Plant, as the commissioner, you are, of course, ineligible because you'll be choosing our best game. So maybe you should decide who gets to pitch first.
I will. And before I decide, I'm just going to put this out there. For people who like iOS games, Slingshot Racing, it's 99 cents. It is a one-button racing game. I thoroughly recommend it. It is a fine wine amongst the swill that you can play on iOS right now. So
When did it come out?
Came out last week.
Last week. It was last week.
Okay, all my favorite wines are a week old. Because they're still they haven't fermented yet. They're basically just like smooshed grapes at that point.
Smooshed.
I do want to say something about Slingshot Racing because I actually like this game too. So you remember that scene? I think it was in Batman 2 or maybe Batman 1, one of the Michael Keaton ones, where he's driving through Gotham and he needs to take a turn really hard.
Oh,
and he shoots the grappling hook out onto the pole and he spins around the pole. You guys remember that scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's basically the concept of Slingshot Racing. So you're constantly doing that around. Instead of having to turn the wheel, you just use your momentum to whip yourself around corners.
Yeah, you don't have the ability to control the gas or even your wheel. You just kind of slingshot around corners.
That's Do you guys remember that scene from, I think it was Batman and Robin, where Uma Thurman was there, and she just hit everybody with all of her pheromones.
Yeah.
And and Batman and Robin were both bidding on her like a piece of meat, and then Batman won because he had a Batman credit card in his utility belt, and he said something about never leave home without it. You guys remember that? And you could see his nipples.
Yeah.
Fuck, what a terrible movie.
I know, it was the worst. It was the worst.
So you guys, I was actually thinking that maybe this week Mr. Justin could go first.
Oh my god, yes. My game of the week is Dragon's Dogma. I have played it for, I don't know, probably 15 hours all told, maybe 20 hours. It is it's not enjoyable. I love it. I think it is an action RPG created by Capcom. It is I would say it is clearly sort of a Japanese response to somewhere between Skyrim and Monster Hunter. Not a Japanese response to Monster Hunter. That would be an echo chamber. But it is an open world action RPG where you play the Arisen, which is a person who has had their heart stolen by a dragon, literally like ripped out of his chest.
Like a really charming Lothario of a dragon.
Yeah, just like, oh, you.
You guys boned in his secret den, and he promised he'd call.
He never did. But anyway, he has a heart stolen by a dragon. A charming,
like a Lothario of a dragon.
Okay,
like
good. Now let's not do that again. But he comes back to life to try to take vengeance. He is aided in his quest by a pawn, pawns are basically slaves.
I thought they were just like really small shrimp.
No. You're thinking of prawn. That's a common mistake. No, pawns are from another dimension, sort of. But they have no will of their own. They wait for someone to tell them what to do. And when the Arisen comes, that's you again. They fall all over themselves to serve you. So you create a class for yourself and a class for your pawn. And one of the cool things about the pawn system is that other people can check out your pawn, basically. They can borrow it. It doesn't take them away from your game. It's just another your pawn travels to their land. Your pawn helps the people, and the people can send them back with some gifts or a note about their appearance or fighting capabilities or whatever. I, for instance, have a beautiful little mage child named Special Boy, and he...
What?
What?
Yes. You enslaved a child?
I enslaved a beautiful, towel-headed child named Special Boy, who thinks I am just the cat's pajamas. And people check out Special Boy and then send him back with gifts.
You can't just put that sentence out.
It's that
either.
They borrow Special Boy and use him. God. And then, don't get dirty. What I have with Special Boy is, well, special. the action is... No exaggeration, great. I mean, it feels really good. So much, so much better than Skyrim.
Actual combat?
It's all presented in third person. Yeah, everything's super responsive. There's tons of different styles. It's fully mappable. Like, if you want to, you have three abilities that you can map to the face buttons for each weapon. So, like, if you have daggers equipped, you have three different dagger abilities, and you have a profession where you grow in the profession and you learn those abilities. Sort of like a job system from like Final Fantasy, where you learn abilities in a specific job, and then you can always change careers and learn and grow in that job, but you keep all the abilities. So it gives you a lot of freedom about how you want to play. If you get bored halfway through and you decide you want to be a mage or a hybrid class or whatever, they make it really easy for you to do so. The only thing that I don't like about it is that it in many ways makes a lot of decisions that don't seem particularly player friendly. For instance, it's a giant open world and there's not really a fast travel system per se at all. You can get these items that are very expensive that'll let you port back to the main city, and you can actually create other locales you can port to with those stones, but it's not a renewable resource and it costs a lot. Now, this is very bad in one way because it's like, oh God, but it makes journeys into a big deal. So like when you get to a place, you're like, I did not know if I was going to make it or not. I thought I was going to die. And it makes it really rewarding and immersive, but it's not for everybody. And I end up cursing it as much as I like it. But anyway, that's Dragon's Dogma. I've found it really, really, really enjoyable and like I said, draws me in. The connections that you make with the world, sort of because of its quirks, I guess you could say, or at least in part because of its quirks, it really works for me. So I really enjoy it, but it's probably not for everybody.
Okay, I got a few questions.
Hit me with your best shot.
First, what is the dogma of the dragons? Do you actually learn it?
I don't think you get too deep there's not, the story is not, it's barely there. Like, you just gotta get your heart back, that's all. And crazy things happen, and don't really pay off. There doesn't seem to be a lot of thought given to the story. So I can't answer your question with any alacrity.
He's devoutly religious, isn't he?
He is a Hasidic Jew.
Yeah.
But that is his, that, but he's very personal about it. He's very private about it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. The heart, is it a metaphorical heart or is it
heart? No. Dog rips your heart out your chest. And it's actually pretty funny because it lets you make your hero like physically however you want to. So mine's a pretty close representation to me. He's kind of a chunkster. And the dragon like plucks his heart out of his chest. And there's this like chubby guy laying in the sand with a hole. And he picks up a sword. It's like, what are you doing, Beefus? What do you think you're going to do with that? Look at you. You look like Egg Grimley's fat brother. And you're going to make a run at this dragon and try to fight him. Like, it's pretty. But it is awesome because I made him the most agile class you can have. So it's got these awesome boss fights where, oh, that's the other thing I forgot to tell you. There are big monsters, griffins, cyclops, griffons, cyclopses, and you can use the right trigger to grapple any of them. So if you jump and press right trigger behind one of those things, you'll just grab onto their back, very Shadow of the Colossus, but much more dynamic. So you can like climb all over them. So you're climbing on the back of this cyclops and plunging a dagger into his eye while he, you know, wildly tries to knock you out of it. And those boss fights can happen basically at any point. They'll just fly out of the sky and try to murder you.
But it's not scaled, right? Because, like, you could just turn the corner.
Oh, no, it's not scaled at all. Nothing in this game is scaled. So every once in a while, you'll run into, like, anything. It could be, like, a wolf. And you'll shoot it with an arrow, and you'll realize, like, oh, I've shot him 10 times, and his health hasn't decreased at all. I am going to die. But it's not punishing in the way that, like, a Dark Souls is. You can save at any time. It's just kind of frustrating because you'll think, oh, I'm going to do this quest, and you walk all the way there, and then you realize, like, oh, there is no – I have nothing that is going to help me here. I am not ready for this at all.
One thing that I wanted to ask you, so I've seen, like, video of it, and there's this weird use of, like, text boxes where your, like, compatriots are talking.
Yes.
And it fills up, like, half the screen.
Yes. That I recommend you turn that off first
thing. Oh, you can turn that off?
Oh, totally.
Oh,
great. The interface is kind of cluttered initially. Like, it even has buttons that tell you, like, what your butt. It has a display that tells you what your buttons do in any given context. I recommend turning that off and turning off the pawn dialogue. Your pawns are still a little chatty, but you can sit them. This is great. You can sit them down in something called the knowledge chair. It's in all the pubs and stuff. So you sit across. I'm sitting across from Special Boy in the knowledge chair, and he's like, "So, I've been talking a lot. How's that working for you?" And you're like, "No, Special Boy, don't talk so much." He's like, "I'm sorry, Dad. I let you down. I didn't say Dad. Sorry, Sir Arisen. I let you down. I'll talk a little less." It's like, I've been healing myself and you. Do you want me to just focus on you? It's like, yeah, Special Boy, I do. You just keep Dad alive and we'll worry about you later. All right, Arisen, you're the boss. That's the knowledge chair.
Can I borrow Special Boy if I get the game? Will you loan him out?
You can borrow Special Boy.
I want to play Special Boy.
Okay. Anybody can borrow Special Boy that wants to. He is a level 20. I think he's level 30 wizard now. So you can just take him with you.
Can you start with like a level 30s pawn and like right at the beginning of the game?
You can if you're... This is the way I understand it. If you go into this other dimension to recruit pawns,
basically like the Ghostbusters, like where Slimer lives.
Yes, that's exactly like that. And when you go in, it's pre-populated with a bunch of pawns that are of your level, but also any of your friends that are playing, their pawns are there, and they don't have to be level appropriate. Like I've been playing with. Patrick Klepek's wizard Oi has been following me the whole time because he's like level 40 and has some dope spells. And it can, I mean, in one way it's like, oh yeah, this guy made it a lot easier. But on the other hand, the game doesn't scale whatsoever. So it's not really like, it doesn't feel like I'm cheating because the game it doesn't care what level I am, so maybe I, you know, it just feels like you're trying to even the odds a little bit. And it never feels like they are overpowering you. What's also kind of cool is once your pawn goes on a quest, they will have – they gain knowledge of the quest. So, like, if Oi has already been on a quest with Patrick, when I'm on the quest, I can talk to Oi and he will have insight for me. Like, he'll know the best ways of getting there, and he'll know what enemies are weak to. And he'll know – and he'll just, like – he'll volunteer that information, which is really cool.
It'd be great if he was more patronizing, like, oh, you sure you want to go down that way?
When Patrick did this mission, he used fire, but I guess different,
water will be
different
okay.
Strokes for different folks, I suppose.
So, Justin, that sounds like a really good game. Like, unless you have a seafood allergy, I think people will probably want to play it.
Oh, my God, stop. Okay.
Russ.
Try it out. Get one more try, eh? Get one more spin.
I think it sounds like the best video game that Kevin Smith has directed yet.
What? Oh, Dogma. See, that was a Dogma joke.
That was a Dogma. Sorry, guys. Russ, you want to go?
Can we put Chris Plant in the knowledge chair?
Chris Plant,
stop talking so much.
Would you like that I make bad jokes less?
Am I going next?
Tell me about your game.
Okay, so I'm bringing... Ghost Recon Future Soldier to the mix. Okay. So here's the thing about Future Soldier. I haven't actually played a single moment of single player, interestingly enough, which is surprising because I really like single player games. But based on what I've heard from everyone, I'm going to play it eventually. But based on what I've heard, the reason to get this game is not for the single player. It's for the multiplayer. So I'm going to speak to the multiplayer. The way the multiplayer is structured, it's a third person shooter. Tradition, you know, in the style of like the past few Ghost Recon games. The difference here is that it's, and this sounds a little dull, but the whole multiplayer is based around intel. So the idea is you're playing and you see an enemy guy right in front of you. You could shoot him and kill him and get points, experience points, and level up, stuff like that. But if you shoot him with like a stun gun, you can stun him and he goes to the ground, and then you can hack him while he's on the ground. And after he's been hacked, the locations of every other member of his team get revealed for, like, a short period of time. So that's, like, one way of getting intel, and it helps your whole team, and you get points anytime one of your team members kills someone using the intel that you got. Another way to do intel is, like, you're flying around in a UAV, and you're, like, spotting guys for people. There's a few different ways to do it. So the idea is it sort of blends, you know... the like Call of Duty like Twitch based shooting mechanics with people that like to play more tactically, because you don't really need like reflexes to like fly the UAV around and help people, but you're still tremendously helpful and the game is still rewarding you a lot. Mode wise, you know, it's they've got like a few modes, you know, traditional bomb the base stuff and deathmatch and stuff like that, but there's also a mode where, like, once you complete one objective, it, like, randomly picks the next objective. So that's sort of the mode that everyone's been gravitating towards because it keeps things fresh and interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I would give a lot of props to the creativity they put into this game. It doesn't feel like any other multiplayer shooter I've played. Very creative game design at work. And it's fun. It's a good multiplayer cooperative shooter.
Now... I liked Advanced Warfighter a lot when it came out years ago. Is there anything remotely similar to Grawl in here?
Well, Advanced Warfighter had some of these intel moments.
Yeah.
I don't think I didn't play a ton of the multiplayer, but I'm not sure if the multiplayer had it. Definitely in single player, there were moments where it's like you had to control the UAV and like mark guys. Yeah. And I always found that kind of tedious in single player, but they made it... In multiplayer here, they made it much more fluid and interesting, and it's a lot easier to do, to mark guys.
Is it my problem with the Ghost Recon games has always been my worry that I'm not crazy about tactical. How much of this is tactics-based versus just straight action-based?
Yeah, from the multiplayer side, what's good about the multiplayer is that you can play it either way. Like, if you just want to be a soldier... and go, like, you know, heavy machine gun, whatever, and just shoot people, you can do that. But if you want to go, like, there are definitely people that prefer the more tactical route. You can be the guy that's marking guys and, like, doing all the intel stuff. So it's really, I mean, it's your preference.
Few things give me more pleasure than when somebody's trying to play it all tactically and, you know, flying around their special helicopter and looking down at their Game Boy. And I run up to them and I shoot them with a shotgun and yell something about sports in their face and call them a nerd.
You can do that.
And pull their pants down.
That's that works
for me.
There's a pantsing option? You can pants people?
When you hit the B button after you kill someone, you pull their pants down. You just get right in their dead face and you yell, sports!
There was a one other thing I want to mention is that the game strongly recommends cover in sort of like a nod to like realistic combat. So you'll actually earn more experience points if you kill guys from cover.
Really?
Like, and there's also some moves in the game that like if you're pressed into cover, it'll show you like a marker in front of you at another cover point. And if you hold A, you'll do this like super fast sprint to that next cover point. So you're sort, I mean, it feels like you're using like real world military tactics, which I know a heck of a lot about, given that I've never done anything real world military wise. I did go paintballing once though, and it felt like paintball.
Yeah, you got shot in the face.
I did.
Russ still has tremors at night because of paintball.
Yeah,
he has post paintball
stress. Post paintball stress.
So do you want to sum it all up for us, Russ?
Hold on, real quick. Yeah. Is there any co-op?
There is actually. There is. There is. So you can play the single player, which I haven't played, in co-op. I can't really discuss that. But there's also a horde-style co-op mode. I forget what they call it. But it's basically like you with four other people, fighting against a crap load of AI people, waves of AI people. Mm-hmm. So you can use those same tactics in multiplayer.
Cool. I've never had a more engaging or addictive multiplayer shooter experience than Rainbow Six Vegas and Vegas 2's Terrorist Hunt mode. And every time I hear a Tom Clancy multiplayer game, like, I always have my fingers crossed.
I think if you liked the Terrorist Hunt stuff in Rainbow Six, I think you'd really like this stuff here. Because it feels like a more fleshed out...
No shit, like, that endorsement, I'll go pick that game up. Unless you're pulling my leg.
No, I never found Terrorist Hunt all that much fun because I thought it was sort of random where the guys showed up and it was just
so awesome about it.
But here, I don't know, I feel like there's more thought in like how you take on a situation and there's more teamwork involved because you're marking like enemies as they're coming in and stuff like that.
Hey, do you know why they're called Ghost Recon?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're dead and they're ghosts.
What?
Oh my god, I always suspected.
Yeah.
That's why you can't be, like, permakilled, because you're already dead.
Exactly. So, basically, the story goes, you were a soldier in Vietnam.
Got it.
And you traveled to Vietnam because there was some sort of, like, he wasn't really a terrorist, he was, like, a cult leader, and you go to, like, shut him down, but he's like, no, you should join me, but you need to make the ultimate sacrifice. So, he takes a knife, and he stabs you in the leg, but you end up bleeding out anyway because he hits the artery, and then you die. So you die in Vietnam, and then you wake up, and you're still in Vietnam, but you can take a plane back, but it has to be a ghost plane. And then you take the ghost plane back, and then they're like, okay, we need a new squad made up of only ghosts, and you're like, okay, I guess I should do it. No one else is going to do it.
It was amazing how coherent your story was when you were ripping off Francis Ford Coppola, and then how it immediately fell apart after Apocalypse Now ended.
Yeah, and then it became Soul Plane.
It became Soul Plane and Ghost Ship in the perfect mashup. Great. Well, that was not enlightening whatsoever.
But the rest of it was.
Let's take a break to talk about something fun that was going on this week in the life of us. What did anyone do for the holiday weekend?
Oh, I've got it. Oh, God. I don't know if I should share
this.
Are
you going to talk about your poops?
Should I?
No, yeah, I'd rather you didn't.
Okay, we don't have
voting.
To. No, that's
voting?
Fine. We don't about the poops.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about poops.
Okay, so never mind. You don't have to hear. I had some stomach probs this weekend.
That's cool. That's cool. Like that's great. A fine.
We won't share it.
That's a fine short story. Like it's over.
It's over.
I drank enough shandy to fill a child's swimming pool.
Enough what?
Shandy.
What is shandy?
Our. Russ.
What?
It's only the best summertime drink ever invented. It's a beer with lemonade flavor.
Oh, right. You'd mentioned this many, many weeks ago.
Like old time lemonade? You just crack open a little packet of old time?
I don't think you can alchemize it quite that easily.
It's lemonade and beer?
It's not like one part lemonade, one part beer. It's like beer infused with the good spirit of lemonade.
Does it taste like Bud Light Lime?
No, God, no. No. Although no. BL Lime's okay.
That can refresh you on a hot summer. Sure.
I can't swim without some sort of lime infused beverage, and I can't hammock without my shandy.
Right.
I have the best life ever. Do you guys know I had the best life ever?
Where do you get your shandies, Griffin? Like, what kind of shandies are you
doing? I go to the HEB. I tell you, Leinenkugel is probably my fave shandy, but Shock Top does an okay shandy.
Oh, these are branded shandies?
Yeah, they're brandy shandies.
I thought you were making your own.
Now, you can make your own, of course.
Yeah, but, I mean, I could make my own pizza, too, but there's a Little Caesars across the street, and they always have them.
So is it all Shock Top shandy, or is it like a specific kind of Shock
Top? I think Shock Top, I think they specialize in
fruit I've had that.
Wheat beers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the core Shock Top, I believe, is an orange-flavored experience. Hey, are you guys looking forward to E3?
Oh, my God, the triple. Will we have a show next week?
We'll have a show. We're not going to spoil.
Yeah, we're
going to
have so much free time.
It's going to be a great show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to do another video?
I think maybe. There will be video, I think.
If the people want them.
That's what they want. We'll give it.
I don't know. Like, nobody watched our first video, Besties. I feel like people hated it.
Lots of people liked it. If you've never seen it, I would recommend you go to tubes.com and search for Besties video to watch about PAX. Mm-hmm. And you'll find it.
Yeah,
it's probably not the best search, but
no, I mean that's pretty close. That'll get you halfway.
Maybe the listeners could petition for a video with a hashtag. You know any good hashtags?
I gotta want like, give me my besties video now. Shot at E3. I can't wait anymore.
Hashtag. Gotta have this video in and on my eyes and ears. Please give it.
Besties 2012.
Jeeves. Besties.
Coney.
Games.
Yeah.
Bieber.
No, we'll shoot we'll definitely shoot some stuff, do some video content, maybe record another episode, an audio show for you to enjoy. But we're gonna be busy.
Yeah.
The triple,
If you guys are in town, if you're in LA, come hang out with us at our party. We're having a party on Sunday night.
Where at?
I believe 7 PT. It's at the Broadway Bar.
Yep, that's the name of it.
It's at 7 PM PT.
It's 7 to question mark, except we're gonna, 11.
We're going to have Bevs.
We have work in the morning on Monday, so.
Yeah, we got
to
work.
Yeah, I got to be. Oh, geez, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I got to be up at like 6 in the morning to cover the Microsoft press conference.
Yeah, I thought you guys would get to meet Fun Justin, but instead you're going to meet darting away from conversations because he can't handle them with people that he doesn't know very well, Justin.
Maybe he'll be warmed up after Max FunCon.
There's a switch inside of Justin that can only be flipped by the subtle hand of a vodka gimlet.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Alcohol's been a social lubricant for thousands.
Can we, before we move on, can we all name the game we're most looking forward to seeing?
E3?
Yeah.
We did a feature on this.
We did a feature. We wrote this down.
This will be the audio version of the feature.
Justin took mine, so I'm going to say it first. Metro.
Okay. I'm going to say Design.
Wait. That doesn't match. Chris Plant, you picked Super Mario Wii U.
Yeah, because I couldn't pick Metro because Justin already picked it.
Here's mine then, in that case, Dishonored.
Oh, okay.
Dishonored?
Yeah, it's
Dishonored,
It's about a dishwasher with the power to teleport.
One red.
Actually, that's dishwasher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dishonored. I think that looks really cool.
Little Big Planet Vita. Sorry, guys. It looks amazing.
Tomb Raider. Very excited about Tomb Raider.
You already saw it, though.
Yeah, but that's why I'm excited, because I saw it, and it looked awesome.
Seen everything.
I didn't see everything.
Yeah, you did. So, Griffin, what did you bring for us this week?
Speaking of the Vita, I brought Resistance Burning Skies. It's a new shooter.
How is that?
I mean, you can read my review, and I'm assuming you all did, so I can't sit here and pretend that it is the best game ever released. It's It has its strengths and it has its weaknesses, but some of its strengths no video game has ever done before. So I'll start with that. It is a first-person shooter on a handheld console that works perfectly to that effect. The dual sticks, like no other handheld console. I guess you have the dongle attachment for the 3DS now, but as far as I know, it's the first first-person shooter on a handheld console with two sticks and triggers and all that stuff. And it like all of the fundamentals of moving and covering and shooting and aiming, like they all work superbly. And if anything else, like it feels, you know, it's kind of messed up to say it's a great proof of concept that a first-person shooter can work on the Vita, but it does fill that role really well, and I'm really looking forward to, I'm hoping other developers will play it and say, okay, this is possible, this is something that can happen, and then make better games, because there's a lot of bad stuff in it too. Like the campaign is pretty rough. It apes a lot of elements of other shooters, only not really as well. I don't want to give any spoilers, but there's a scene in the game that is basically taken directly from a Gears of War game.
Zombie wife?
Can you edit that out? But yes, that's
I didn't awesome. Really, is that it? I guess that.
I was hoping that you righted a giant monster.
You do that also.
I can't believe I guessed it, though. That's horrible.
Yeah, that's what happens. Please edit that out, though. And yeah, there's a few balance issues, like the, there's 8 guns in the game, and the guns in the Resistance franchise are like the best pretty much always. Resistance 3 is probably the best example of that.
Do they bring over the experience stuff where you can level up the guns using them?
Well, here's the thing. So each gun has an alt fire that you set off with the touchscreen in different ways. No, it's actually, it works pretty well. Like the bullseye that you use to lock on, you just tap on your target and then it locks on. Like that works really well. And some of the stuff, it's just sort of like an obstacle that you have to take your hand off the screen to like set off this super powerful shot. So it's sort of like a balance. And you can upgrade the weapons with these things called gray tech that you find. They're like little cubes that you can find on each level. They are not hard to find, though. They're just like you go into a room with 2 exits, and one leads to gray tech and one leads to the net. It's not like you're not solving puzzles or anything like that. The big bummer is if you miss one and you go on to the next level, there's no chapter select option.
Oh.
You have to beat the game and then play it again in New Game Plus. It's puzzling. And like there's some other stuff too, like there's 2 mini bosses that you have to fight just ad nauseum over and over and over again, and the pattern of like, you know, duck and cover and then shoot and shoot heads, like that really never changes throughout the game. But I didn't think it got especially stale, because the game is only 6 chapters long and each one takes about an hour to beat. It's functional, but it's not great. But the multiplayer is actually pretty fun. It's not working right now, unfortunately. But when I was playing,
wow.
good pick.
Well, I mean, it's just, I think their servers probably exploded from the pressure of the 10 people who were trying to play it.
From all those Vita owners.
Yeah. Well, before launch, though, when I was playing, it was perfect. I think
who were you playing with? Oh, it was a multiplayer session.
Yeah. And like I played for like 3 or 4 hours, like without getting disconnected. There was no lag. You can use the Vita's party system, which I don't know any other thing has used to create a party and then jump into party matchmaking. Like
and chat.
Yeah, you can chat in the party thing.
Voice chat.
I don't know if that carries. Yeah.
Damn, I need
I know. I know, dog. I didn't know it could do it either. But yeah, that all functions really, really well in the multiplayer. It's like super limited. There's not many levels, and there's only like deathmatch, team deathmatch, and a survival mode, which is reminiscent of Halo's zombie mode. But they're fun, like fast paced, run and gun.
Is it experience based?
Multiplayer. Where you're, like, yeah, it's experience based. So you're unlocking stuff, and the upgrades that you find in the game, you unlock in the multiplayer, and then you build 3 loadouts with, you know, a weapon and a grenade type and 2 upgrades for that weapon that you can switch between at will during the match. I had a lot of fun with it.
How many people do you think will be playing multiplayer in a week?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. If they don't get their their servers back online, I would say probably zero, which is a shame because it's definitely the stronger half of the game. But I don't know. It's hard for me not to be swooned by the novelty of I'm playing a first-person shooter that feels great on a handheld console. But not only that, I'm playing like a compelling, fully featured multiplayer first-person shooter. Like, if they put Call of Duty on this thing with all of that functionality and like all of the stuff that you expect from the console version, like, I could see it doing really well. So yeah, that's Resistance. It's got some neat stuff. It's got some rough stuff. If you're a fan of the franchise or you're like really curious of what a shooter is like on the Vita, you should pick it up. Otherwise, I would say probably wait for a price cut because there's probably not enough there to justify $40.
Can you bring it to E3 so I can just borrow it from you?
It's digital, so no.
Oh.
Just pull out your hard card.
Okay, I'll pull out my hard card.
Just slide it into mine.
Gross.
And I'll just port it over.
Slide it into Special Boys. Oh,
stop
no.
it.
Sorry. Stop it with
Delete
that.
That. Delete
Come
it.
Come on. That won't Delete happen. It. Won't happen.
I feel like Sorry. I feel like I tore my own game down so much that you guys don't really need to cross-examine.
Yeah, we don't even know really, if I can like, I think, consider it. Slingshot Odyssey was really good. And we didn't bring it.
Well, is Slingshot Racing a groundbreaking synergy of hardware and software that's never been seen before in
No,
history?
But it's a lot of fun, and it only costs 99 cents.
It's also pretty creative from a racing perspective.
Yeah, and it has multiplayer.
Like, it's the only fun one-touch racing game I can think of.
Well, besides, like, a stock car. Or, well, not stock car, slot car racing, you know? You
yeah, those aren't games? Fun.
Yeah, if this was 1950, like I'd totally agree with you.
Wow.
Burn.
So I know the two games that I'm not bringing to the end. okay, let's go over this real quick. You know, I don't think that we can give Resistance a chance in the final two. Because you really tore
I think
it
that's
down.
Fair.
It does sound interesting. I have a copy of it. I'm going to boot it up. I'm going to try out that multiplayer. But...
Well, give it a week.
I'll give it some time. I mean, the good thing is, at least something interesting is coming out on the Vita. People give the Vita so much crap, but there's a lot of interesting stuff out on it already, and I think coming out this summer.
I think the Vita's fucking dope.
Yeah, I
like,
love it.
A lot of people give it shit, but I can't remember the last time.
It's great hardware. I mean, after these two games, the next big game being Gravity...
Oh my gosh.
Whatever.
But Gravity Rush.
After these two games come out, it's sort of pretty quiet on the Vita.
That's
again.
What people keep saying. That's
true. That's not entirely
because,
true.
Yeah, that's not true at all.
Okay, apart from Little Big Planet Vita, which I know you're excited about, what other big retail
The Call
Vita
of Duty
game,
game that's going to come out in the fall.
That's 4 months away, 5 months away.
I mean, the Sony press conference is in 4 days. Like,
I know, I'm just saying it's weird that we don't know more about what they're planning.
I don't know what... People attack the system. They have tons of good games out there right now.
Yeah, the launch lineup?
And, well,
tons.
Let's be honest. Between launch and Resistance, it's been a dry spell.
Three or four, like, great games on it? Maybe.
Since then? No, I mean, since launch. What maybe what are they?
I mean, nothing. Oh, this guy.
That's okay. Seriously, like what? I haven't bought anything since launch, so I want to know what I'm missing.
So, like
out on.
your monster game that you like, the alien game,
right? I'm not saying that
that was at launch.
That's right? No, that's what I'm saying. No, including guys, the launch, it's like four games.
You can't say the good stuff has been coming out because nothing has been coming out. I'm saying that the launch lineup was super good, and that I mean the hardware is so tight that once they start making good games on it, I think it's going to be great. You can't, I mean, the 3DS, you can say the same fucking thing about that.
The 3DS had a horrible
It had the worst launch lineup of
horrible.
Any
I completely
game console
agree.
I've
but
ever.
I'm not disagreeing. I mean, like, yeah, the Vita had a good launch. I'm just saying that thing, it falls out of mindshare when you don't have any games released for, like,
I don't
months.
Think that will matter when Call of Duty comes out in November and it works. If that happens, mindshare goes way up.
Here's the other thing. I know you disagree with me, but I don't think huge, hardcore Call of Duty people are going to want to play that game on a portable device.
Yeah, I totally disagree. Just because you look at Madden portable players, and it's such a huge market. Like, I think there's a market for it. But that's not the point of this podcast, yo. Let's talk about the final two games.
Okay.
Dragon's Dogma and Ghost Recon blah, 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 blah.
Future Soldier.
Future Soldier.
Do you want me to give the synopsis again?
No, I don't. I don't at all. Because you said there were ghosts in it, and I looked it up on Wikipedia, and there aren't.
I'm just trying to make it more interesting.
Suddenly much less interested. Give me your just best short hard sell. What is the most fantastic reason that this should be the best game, not even of the week, but of the year?
Okay.
It's over. Dragon's Dogma has a really innovative system for online connectivity. It has upwards of 60 to 70 to 80 hours of gameplay. It has a huge, beautiful open world, a fun soundtrack, and it is one of the closer approximations of what the Western audience wants that has come out of Japan, and we need to support efforts like that.
Is there anything magical about it? Because we used to have games that were like solving world peace, connecting people with their dead dads.
I mean,
nothing magical about Dogma.
I've learned to. It's taught me to love a small boy who's basically nothing but ones and zeros. It's taught me to love Special Boy. I don't think that there's anything wrong. I think that that is something pretty special.
You're saying in the future, if the robot revolution comes and we're all up against the wall, the Cybermancers will look through the archives and find your special relationship with Special Boy.
I assume
an AI construct.
Well, I assume Special Boy's AI construct will be imported into one of the mechs. So, like, one will be about to shoot me, and then the mech will be like, the mech will be like, this one is named Special Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Protect the Arisen, and he'll like scoop me up in his arms, take me away.
How about you, Russ?
His love is real, but he is not.
What's Ghost Recon gonna do for you?
Ghost Recon. Captain Benjamin Willard lies on his bed in a hot, sweltering summer day.
Sweat drips down off his face.
Are you reading the script from Apocalypse Now?
As he looks into the mirror and smashes it with a fist, blood drips down his hands. As he wonders why.
I've gotten pretty good at sensing when Russ is about to say some dumb shit. I can feel it like my knee starts to ache, like it's an oncoming storm.
How many
storm.
Games let you play as Benjamin Willard from Apocalypse Now as a ghost?
Okay, well, that's a lie.
That's just false.
That's made up. Chris, I want my ruling. I want my rightful award.
I really cannot believe this because I did not come into this thinking Dragon's Dogma had a chance at even the number two spot. But
he sold it well.
You sold it well.
Woo!
Dragon's Dogma is our best game of the week.
I actually, as somebody who has played both of them, I would have a hard time selling it over Max Payne 3. I think Max Payne 3 is a lot champion. More, a lot let more me, thrilling and solid all
can
around.
Can I ask you a question?
Ask me.
You can, in addition to grappling large enemies, you can also pick up and chuck your teammates, right?
That's accurate. I can pick up Special Boy.
Can you pick up Special Boy and throw him at an enemy fastball special style? Fastball Special Boy.
Yeah, but nothing fun happens. It would be like throwing a big stupid bag of Jell-O at him. Like, he's just a Special Boy. He just flies. I mean, he just thunks against them. Doesn't really do any good.
Can you throw him, like, off a mountain? Like a special sacrifice?
You could. Actually, when your characters die, you can tap them on the shoulder and bring them back to half life. But that's something. But the other pawns can't do that. But what they can do is pick the person up. So a lot of times you'll see somebody die, and then one of the other pawns will go and pick them up and then walk over and drop their corpse in front of you. Like, what did I do?
Do the thing.
Do the thing you do.
Special Boy down.
It's like when your dog brings in a dead baby rabbit.
Or a dead Special Boy, dead exactly. But the pathing's not really great, so it doesn't necessarily know if it's close to you or not. So even if you are standing next to the corpse and the other pawn is standing there, the pawn will pick up the corpse and drop it in front of you.
That's adorable.
It is. It's fantastic. But anyway.
It sounds funnier than Max Payne 3.
It is. It's not as funny as Game of Thrones, which I also played and beat this week. I was going to bring just because it's got a character in it named Dale Tomato. But I decided against it.
Max Payne 3 remains the champion of the besties for now. For now, but it will have some serious competition next week.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Chris Plant, yeah. Maybe don't bring garbage next time.
I'm bringing a great game next week.
I want to be a commish one of these weeks.
You can, because I'm bringing judgments. A great game. I'm bringing the best game of the week next week.
I know what you're bringing. God, I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
So good. It's so good.
So, thank you, friends, for tuning in once again. Make sure to visit us on our website. It's theverge.com/gaming. It won't be like that forever. You can also go to polygon.com and sign up for our mailing list and follow us on Twitter at Polygon. Like us on Facebook. It's /Polygon. Subscribe on YouTube. YouTube /Polygon. And make sure to come to our party if you're in the LA area. Sunday, June 3rd, 7 p.m. at the Broadway Bar. Come on by. We'll have some drinks and games and stuff. And make sure you tune in next Friday for another episode of The Besties. Should the world's best friends pick the world's best games?